Organic food is becoming more popular in the American diet. Nearly every supermarket carries organic products, many of them with major brand names such as Dole and Lucerne. It's still a small business compared to conventional agriculture, but it's growing rapidly, more than 20% a year. And that has caused big food companies such as General Mills to buy into the organic market. The so-called industrialization of organic agriculture has alarmed pioneers of the practice, who say the movement may be losing its heart and soul on the way to the supermarket. NPR's John McChesney reports.
Gene Kahn dropped out of college in 1971 at age 23, and he bought some land in the Skagit River Valley north of Seattle. He was a hippie sodbuster, part of the countercultures back to the land movement. Kahn came here to this farm, called Cascadian. It's nestled in under steep mountains, where a sea of emerald fir trees highlights a luminous white glacier in the distance. Like many early organic farmers, Kahn had to face the ridicule of his neighbors.
They thought we were totally nuts. The idea of farming up here in an area of 80 inches of annual precipitation was wild enough. But the idea of farming without herbicides and without fungicides in particular was completely unheard of, and they thought it was a very, very bizarre proposition.
The small farm was the ideal in the early movement, along with a complete abstinence from the chemical habits of big agribusiness. Selling local was also a central ideal, restoring the lost link between producer and consumer. Those young pioneers who dropped out to change our eating and farming habits had a tough row to hoe. Breaking even was considered a success, and many went under. But Gene Kahn defied the odds, sold his company to General Mills, where he's now a vice president. Kahn's success and his deal with the big food company changed his political landscape. His conventional farming neighbors no longer think he's crazy, but many of his organic farming colleagues say he's sold out. Back in his office, Kahn says that he gradually learned over the years that conventional farmers are not the enemy.
I began to understand that, unlike some of my more self-righteous friends in the organic industry, that the conventional farmers were in fact not the despoilers of the planet, but they were people who were making agricultural decisions based on economic necessities, not a desire to use agrochemicals and to pollute the water.
Kahn's division of General Mills controls both the Cascadian Farms brand of frozen vegetables, peas, beans, and even frozen dinners, and the Muir Glen brand of organic tomato products. Kahn buys from organic farms all over the country, but his division is a very small part of General Mills, whose $7 billion in annual revenues equal the revenues of the entire U.S. organic industry. So, how does it feel to be a former rebel in the heart of the beast?
It's the best opportunity of my life. Being in this environment is an opportunity to show that organic has a place in the food industry, that it's not an anomaly, that it's not a minuscule niche only suitable for yuppies.
A few miles from his office, Kahn's company is converting 22 acres of blueberries and raspberries from conventional agriculture to organic. Standing next to bushes sagging with bunches of plump, blue-purple berries, this puzzled reporter asked if there's an army of hunters nearby. Cascadian's Craig Weekly smiles and explains the noise.
Under organic systems, we don't apply pesticides to keep the birds out of the fields, so we use scare tactics like these guns, these propane guns that you're hearing in the background.
It takes 3 years to purify land that's been conventionally farmed so that it can be certified as organic. This land has been pesticide-free for only half that time, but the results are already apparent. A wasp that would normally be killed by spraying is now at large here, helping with the aphid problem. Joe Bennett turns over a blueberry leaf and shows me several aphids killed by the wasps.
It'll lay an egg on the back of the aphid there, and the egg hatches inside, and then the aphid body becomes a little case in which the young wasp will develop, and then it will emerge from the back of it through a hole like that and go off and parasitize more aphids.
This land doesn't belong to Cascadian. It belongs to a large conventional berry grower, and Gene Kahn is using this demonstration project to convince the grower that organic techniques work.
The only way we're going to be able to have a substantive improvement in the environmental record of agriculture, if you will, is to grow organic acres.
Chemical agriculture, Kahn points out, is one of the biggest sources of water pollution in the country. But studies show that consumers are not buying organic primarily to better the environment. They're buying because they think it's better for them personally, a notion that so far isn't backed up by science. But Kahn says while there may be insufficient proof that organic is better for an individual's health, there's ample proof that it's better for the environment. Here he is, speaking at a conference sponsored by the Organic Farming Research Foundation.
To say that organic food is not healthier is moronic horseshit. Organic food clearly is healthier. Because we live on the Earth. You get it? If we lived on the moon, if we lived somewhere else, we wouldn't necessarily have to talk about the relationship between the environment and human health. But they're intimately linked. And any statistics that show that consumers don't care about the environment, I believe, are superficial.
But while Gene Kahn may be enthusiastic about the opportunities of bigness, there are many people in the organic movement who are worried about where organic is headed as it scales up to industrial strength. Out in West Marin County in California, Warren Weber watches as a small tractor straddles a row of frisée, cutting the weeds. He removes one of the plastic caps that keeps the frisée pale by blocking the sun, and shows off one of the trim bunches headed for a high-end restaurant, perhaps Alice Waters' famous Chez Panisse.
The end product that goes into the restaurant is this.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So it's beautiful, and it's very easy to work with. All he has to do is, chef has to do is cut that off, trim this back a little, and he's got himself a really nice frisée salad.
Oregano, thyme, and romaine grow here in adjacent rows, an intense green against the rich black soil here at the edge of a saltwater lagoon. Like Gene Kahn, Warren is one of the movement's pioneers. He got a PhD in Shakespeare at UC Berkeley, but quit academia in 1974 to start his farm. He's watched in dismay over the past 4 years as small farmers have been increasingly squeezed by large industrial operations, who can remain profitable at lower prices by selling higher volumes.
I went through a couple of years of sort of semi-depression on the subject because the prices were just going through the floor. We were having to sell for $5 a box something that cost us $8, $9 to produce that we used to get $10 or $11 for. And it was just because these larger companies wanted shelf space.
And the wholesalers and supermarkets preferred the larger volumes the big guys could deliver. Weber was faced with the choice of growing bigger to compete or scaling back. He chose the latter course, partly because to him, the organic movement has been about the revival and survival of the small farm, and something more.
There's the relationship between the land, the food, and the community. To me, that's really the heart. What the organic farming scene has always been about is disheartening to see the industrialization of these methods.
Weber has survived and thrived by selling to top-end restaurants in the Bay Area and by selling in local farmers' markets. In the end, he agrees with Gene Kahn that expanding organic techniques to more acres is good for the environment. But he mourns the passing of an era in organic farming and hopes that somehow small and middle-sized organic farmers will find a way to avoid the fate of their conventional farming colleagues, who've been driven out of farming by the thousands. John McChesney, NPR News, San Francisco.